from the first reading from Sirach or Ecclesiasticus, if you wish, you can keep the commandments. It's within your power. It's our choice, heaven or hell. It's our choice whether we keep the commandments. It's our choice whether we seek God's power. God's power to practice virtue and to avoid the vices. This weekend is from the Matthew's Gospel, from the Sermon of the Mount. And in the full text of the Gospel, our Lord refers us to the vices. Anger in particular, greed and lust. And reminds us we need to fight against these. We need to strike deep within to find virtue, to overcome vice. And that's why at the beginning of Mass we make the act of contrition, or say the confessio, we strike our breast thrice. Almost like saying, I've got to get rid of that taproot of vice in my heart. Three times we strike, to pull it out and replace it with virtue. There are only seven vices, but because of original sin, we have a predominant fault. One of them we tend to specialise in. In other words, we have a weakness, a proclivity to sin according to one of those vices. We all have a bit of pride. And pride's the only vice in the mind. All the other six vices are in the will or the heart. We have a lack of willpower with regards to lust, anger, greed, envy, gluttony and sloth. And over the last 50 years in our Western culture, two of these vices have brought down our families and perhaps our future as a society. Which are they? Can you guess? Incidentally, of the Ten Commandments, three are for God, seven are for us and our neighbour. Of those seven commandments, four, the majority, deal with these same two vices. You know what they are? They're the only two commandments that deal with the heart as well as actions. That's right, it's the sixth and the ninth commandment and the seventh and the tenth, lust and greed. The sixth commandment deals with no fornication before marriage and within marriage remain faithful. And the ninth pulls that into gear by saying, be careful not to lust within your heart. And of course greed is the other problem. We have too much want of things we don't need. And we need to fight against theft or stealing, or within our hearts that jealousy, which can almost consume us. In fact, the vices are called vices because they lock us in. They almost take away our willpower and make it very difficult to live according to God's will. We become enslaved to a vice. You see people in the world today, and sometimes the vices almost consume them. It's become their precious, and they live for that vice. Or rather, the vice controls them, because they've lost their willpower against the vice. We, however, seek God's power. We rely on His grace, practice virtue, so as to avoid vice. And that means we must make good choices, and be mindful that it's the heart and our desires that lead us into sin. Take, for example, the person who has a problem with greed, avarice, and wants to send his child away to boarding school and pay that exorbitant fund for a good education, which in and of itself is a good thing, a good education. He has to think about the means of getting the money, the how he can achieve that end. He might save up his money, or he might steal. Let's say he chooses to steal. Vice of greed is making him, he's making me want to steal. Well, not really making you, but it's inspiring you. And he thinks about a bank. I know this bank up here in the corner. I know at what time it closes. If I go in at the last moment with my pistol, I'll get so much money. So he thinks about it, he desires it, he wants to do it, he dreads about it. He can't wait for the day. It's Friday at that hour. Hops into the car, he has his bag with the gun, and he's driving down the road, and all of a sudden, blowout. Tire goes flat. He doesn't have a spare. The moment's gone, he doesn't rob the bank. There's no armed robbery on that Friday. The crime has not been committed. Has he sinned? Yes or no? The answer is, although the crime hasn't happened, he hasn't actually done it. We have the 10th commandment. He coveted. He desired that which wasn't his. He has sinned. For sin lies within. And that's why that 10th commandment's there. Well, take, for example, today, the world of lust. Much of what's happened in the papers and the media throughout the last week is all about the vice of lust and how we need to confront it with the virtue of chastity. Lust, in fact, has besotted our modern age. Ever since the sexual revolution of the 60s, we've separated sex from love. Marital love and how we treat each other have been broken in half. And part of the cause of that is contraception. Now, the church has never been against birth control. Wait, the church has never been against birth control, but couples who are married with serious reasons to avoid a pregnancy, then they may seek a means, a how, to avoid a pregnancy, such as the Billings method. The Billings method is natural, body-friendly, and permitted by the church, because it doesn't separate the gift of love from the gift of life. They go together, back-to-back, like two sides of a coin. You can't split them. The Billings method is free, and that's why it's not promoted in Australia, yet 1 million Chinese use it as a form of controlling how many children they have. So the church isn't against people controlling the number of children they have if they're married, if they've got serious reasons to avoid another pregnancy. The church is against artificial contraception, not because it's artificial or medical or scientific, but because it's harmful. It's harmful to the woman's body. It's harmful to the marriage. It's harmful to society. And that's why Pope Paul VI was inspired by God to protect marriage and love within the context of marital love and writing Humanae Vitae, a document that most Catholics have never read. Sadly so. And in that he said, if the world goes down this road of using a pill to control their fertility, they're going to have four dire consequences. And now we've seen the consequences. The first is that promiscuity will just rise to frightening levels. It has happened. Too many unmarried mothers are in our society. It all began with using that pill. Promiscuity, because we can be irresponsible with our bodily pleasures, lust. And of course, within the context of marriage, adultery has just escalated. People once upon a time would think, perhaps desire, look over the next door neighbour's fence, but not touch because they didn't want the consequences. But with that pill, we can be irresponsible. Lust can rule the day. And so adultery and lust, infidelity has escalated in marriage and as a consequence, divorce. And marriage is in tatters throughout society because of that. Apart from that, lust is fueled by pornography. This is all part of an ugly cocktail in society. So he warned us firstly against that. And secondly, he said, if you go down this road of controlling fertility with artificial means, life will lose its meaning. Well, it certainly has. We're living in a culture of death where you can selectively kill a child in the womb because it's the wrong gender. That's our mindset today. And many victims, I say victims, women going into the clinics to terminate the birth of a child, are going in because their contraception failed them. They aren't to blame. The pill didn't work on that day. That's how they say it. That's what they think. An anti-life mentality or medication leads to an anti-life procedure. And that's the world in which we live. And most people aren't pulling this together in the right fashion. They're looking at the moment, but not at the big picture of what's happening. The third thing that Paul VI said was the lust replaces love within marriage. No longer is there mutual respect. No longer is the woman the centre and sacred vessel of the gift of love and life. And that's true. Our association of womanhood is gone. And with that, we replace lust in our hearts for love. Lust is simply using another person as an object of pleasure, an object of enjoyment. Persons are subjects, always to be dealt with respect, not with usage or enjoyment. And that's the formula of lust. It reduces us down and deprives us of the respect we ought to have. The fourth thing he said that would happen, and it has, is that richer nations would force contraception upon poorer nations so as to control their birth rate, because we don't want too many of them in the world. And that's happened. Interesting, by the year 2050 we'll have a population, not explosion, but implosion, a lack of people, that some countries are waking up to now. So he predicted four things will happen that will all come to pass. Is the world listening? I think not. In fact, we're just doing what we've been doing for the last decade, not realising that we have a problem here that can be solved through chastity, waiting till we get married, and then fidelity within marriage. We need to foster this great virtue of chastity to avoid the vice of lust. We either practice one or we lose the other. And we're being consumed in our hearts and homes through lust. We fight against it, and it begins in the heart. And we have to fight against temptation to exploit and use other people, but rather to respect them. And remind ourselves that every woman has a mother. Every woman has a sister, is a daughter of a mother. In other words, think about them in that context, and therefore when we see scenes on television or on the internet, we can fight against what they're offering. No, lust is something we need to be mindful of. And sometimes people say, well, the church has a hangout with the marital intimacy thing. It has a hangout with this, and it just has all these rules and regulations. I think not. The church doesn't have a hangout, but as St. Paul said, we have a wisdom to offer our age. And the wisdom is this. The marital intimacy of a husband and wife is not nice. It's not good. It's what the church calls holy. It's so precious. It's so beautiful. It's the only act in which God himself continues his work of creation. It's holy, and therefore it's precious and has to be kept guarded. A diamond ring is precious. It's of great value. So what do? We mount it on a piece of metal and put a claw around it. But that is the claw that covers up part of the diamond. You can't see the full diamond because it's covered by that claw. But what's the purpose of the claw? To protect, to safeguard the preciousness of the diamond. Well, so too this commandment, the sixth and the ninth, the church is teaching, it's not there to hassle us or hinder us, but to safeguard and protect that which is precious, that which is intimate, that which is holy. And that's why these rules are there, lest we exploit that which is too valuable and lose sight of who we are. Let us pray to God for inspiration, asking for that power that's promised in the first book, Ecclesiasticals. It's within your power. Seek his grace to be chaste. Seek his grace to love. Let love corrupt your heart. Pray to Jesus Christ. Amen.